Studies of the book of Matthew. We're in a series of messages, studies titled Simon Peter, an Apostle of Christ, following the path that our Lord has set Simon Peter on as he learns to be an apostle, as he approaches that point in his life where the Lord inspires him to write the epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter. And part of that path is we see in Matthew. So we've kind of stayed with Matthew quite a bit, looking at it more of a verse-by-verse basis. And in our last study, we read through verse 26 of chapter 19. But it's always good, it's always a good practice to consider the words before a certain subject, looking at the verses before and the verses after. So that way we're always keeping what we're looking at, what we're focusing on, in context with what God is telling us through the whole partial of Scripture. In the previous verses of what we came to in verse 26, a rich young man came unto our Savior. And he asked, "Good master," in verse 16, "what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Oh, our Lord is so gracious and so merciful to us. Our great God, in his infinite wisdom, immediately took the man to the law, as we read in verse 18. And he saith unto him, which Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness." This young man went on to declare his righteous works before God, and then he was told to sell it all. Sell all your possessions, sell everything that you have. Sell all of his worth. Give all that was left to the poor and follow the Son of God. For us to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, we must put away what we are. We must put away anything that we're holding on to, that we think we can do. That's what this young man was doing. He came to the Lord rich with all of these things, but not just rich in the things of the world, rich within himself, within the righteousness of himself. Look what he said there. He said, the young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept," in verse 20. "From my youth, look at what I have done. See how good I have been? I've done all those things. I've never murdered anybody." Once again, our gracious Lord shows us our very nature, our natural fleshly desire, and that is to have something that we can claim as our own, something we can hang on to. This is what free willism is. It's exactly what it is to declare free will. To declare that it's your decision to make a decision for Christ. You must exercise your free will, they say. Come forward and accept the Lord in your heart. But they don't tell everyone that their heart is as hard as a stone. That's the truth. The truth is, we all had hearts of stone before the Lord came to us. In my prayer, I said, "Lord, thank you for your grace in quickening us, giving us life," because we know we have been brought to the revelation that we were dead in trespasses and sin. There was nothing good in us. And the law proved that. The law is the schoolmaster that takes us to that very thing. We have nothing that we can add to salvation. We must look to our Savior and Him alone. Free willism is we have this natural desire to do things for ourselves, to accomplish things with our own deeds. It feels good, does it not, to look at something and say, "Look at what I've accomplished. I have trophies." Any of you have a trophy of anything? Have you ever gotten a trophy for something? Well, I know in today's world they give you a trophy just for not having a drippy nose or not hitting another child or something. You know, they give kids trophies for everything nowadays. But have you ever gotten a trophy? Have you ever put it up on the mantelpiece and say, "Look at this, look here, look what I've done"? It's in our nature. It's in our nature. See, I have a belt buckle. I have a silver belt buckle. Not just a trophy, but a silver belt buckle. Because John Reeves, he beat all those other people in the state championship one time. Isn't that cool? Yeah. See what we can hang on to? See how it is in our nature to want something that we can hang on to of our own doing? That's exactly what our Lord is showing his disciples in this very thing. It wasn't that long ago, just a few verses back, as a matter of fact. If you want to go back to verse 1 of chapter 19, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came to the coast of Judea by Jordan, and great multitudes followed him. And I'm not reading the right one. Am I? No, that's not the right one. Where was it there where the men were saying, who shall sit where in the kingdom of heaven? It might have been back at verse 18. Here, it is at verse 18. Verse 18, verse 1. And at the same time, came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You see the natural man that we're talking about here? This wonderful thing. They were arguing, who's going to be better? Who's the better in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him on the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. These men who had been following Jesus around, and Christ had been teaching them the humbleness of himself, God Almighty humbling himself and becoming a man. It wasn't that long ago that the Lord told them, I must go to Jerusalem and die and suffer at the hands of the Pharisees. And yet here they are once again doing what comes natural to them. And we do the same thing. We put that trophy right up here on the mantle. So when you come into my house, you see that John Reeves did this. Or whatever trophy you might have. Look what I have accomplished. What that young man could not see is in reality he had nothing. Oh, what it is to have all the things of this world and you lose your soul. Look at verse 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? What is it I don't have? He didn't have Christ. Christ did not dwell in him. He says, what lack I yet? He lacked this. One must be brought to know their depraved condition before one will look to the only perfect one for salvation. We must be brought to that point where we see our true standing before a holy God before we can see the perfection in the Lord Jesus Christ and was what we need. The righteous don't need a Savior. Our Lord says, I did not come to heal the righteous. I came to heal the sick, the poor. In Matthew 5, verse 3, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who know what they lack. Those who have had that revealed to them that all we have in the flesh is nothing. We must be born again. We must have a Spirit of God dwelling in us. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 4 it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I mourn for the flesh that I walk in today, the battle that fights between me, my spirit, and my flesh. Oh, how I want to put that flesh away. Oh, how my spirit wants to be like my Savior. But I'm comforted in knowing that my Savior has already done it all for me. Are you not comforted by the same thing? Is that not where your comfort is? Because if you have any comfort in your own flesh, you're misplacing your comfort totally. You can't even put comfort in your own feelings, folks. Blessed are the meek, in verse 5, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We're not filled with the flesh. We're not filled with the things that we do, because we know that it's what our Lord has done that fills us. He fills us to the point our cup runs over. Oh, one must know their own unworthiness, their total depraved condition before they can see the grace of God in saving His elect. In verse 21, the Lord brings to the front line, He says, if thou wilt be perfect. If you'll be perfect in doing all those things of the law, is there any seed of Adam who can be perfect? Rather than submit all authority unto the rightful one, this young man went forth his way sorrowful, shaking his head in sadness. I cannot do that. I cannot put away what I have done with my hands. I cannot do as you look, as you ask, Lord. Therefore, I'll go my own way and do it my way. In verse 23, our Lord declares the path to heaven to be hard for those who are rich in spirit. Laying down your own self-worth is a troublesome task. It's a very difficult thing to do, for sure. In fact, it's so hard it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, our Lord says. Look at verses 25 through 26. When His disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? If it's so hard for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven, who is it that can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Isn't that wonderful? That just blesses me greatly. I can't do this. I know I can't do this. The Lord has shown me that I can't do this. But there is one who could. God in the flesh. See how good the news gets? When you start preaching the gospel, when you start thinking about the gospel, and you put that fleshly stuff away, and you stop thinking about what it is you have in the flesh, your sin and this, and start thinking about what the Lord has done for us, oh, the news gets great, doesn't it? It just gets fantastic. Folks, we cannot come to the Lord of our own will. God must give us a new heart, a new will. The old stony heart will never come to Him. It will never seek salvation. The old heart does not need salvation. We come into this world as lions. We cannot change our own nature. Can a lion change its nature? I like the way Pastor Gene has said this before. If you take some hay and you put it in the lion's cage, what will the lion do with it? He'll go and lay on it. But you put some meat in there and that lion will eat it, won't he? Put some fresh raw meat in there. Or a deer. If you put some hay in there or some raw meat into a cage with a deer, they'll recoil from it almost. They'll be like, oh, but yet you lay some hay in there and they'll eat it, won't they? You can't change your nature. To be born again, it must be of God. It's not something we can decide to do because we've decided, oh, you know what, I've been messing up my life so all these years. I've been doing this, I've been doing that. It's time for me to turn around. You know what, I'm going to start going to church, I'm going to start doing this, I'm going to make a decision for God. No, you can't do that. You might be able to pretend you're doing it for a while, but eventually that lion is going to come out in you. And you're going to look over at that meat and you're going to say, I got to eat some meat. It takes God to change a man. It takes God to change our hearts. A lion cannot change his nature and a deer cannot change its. Only God can give life to a dead thing. With God, all things are possible. Creation. Boom. It was done. Let there be light. Boom. It was done. Our God rules everything. That word we use, sovereign, doesn't even barely touch the surface of how much the Lord God Almighty rules. It's a word that we can use to give us a little understanding of it. But a sovereign God is more than we can even... more than our little minds can even absorb. He's everything. He's everywhere. He knows everything. He gives us what we should know. This is what it takes to spiritually lay everything of the flesh at the feet of Christ. This is what it takes to lay all our riches aside. As he was telling that young rich man, put it all aside, sell it all, sell all your works, and follow me. It takes Christ to move in our hearts, to quicken us and give us life, to follow the one who rules, the one whom every knee shall bow to, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. It takes God, the Alpha and the Omega of our faith. So next we see in verse 27 a type, a picture of what it is to continue in this flesh. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Now you can look at this a couple different ways. Peter is either saying, we've given everything we have and we're following you, what shall we have? We've got nothing. Or you can look at it this way, we've given everything, we've sold everything, we're following you, what are we going to get in return? What is ours in return for the sacrifice that we've given? Peter is acting on the flesh. He heard the Lord promise the young rich man just a moment ago the treasures of heaven. In verse 21, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Peter heard that, and his desire now is to know what these treasures were. He says, we gave all. What is ours in return? What shall I get for doing such a thing? What treasure do you seek this morning? What treasures do you have in your heart? There are many who believe that they have earned their treasure, that one may be blessed with something more than the others because of their good works. I know those who do believe that. Look at verse 28 through 30. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What do these words mean? Our Lord tells us. He tells us in this very next parable. Let's look at this in chapter 1 through verse 16 of chapter 20. Our Lord gives a parable in answering what that means. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, thou shalt ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first the last, for many be called, but few chosen. Folks, if you were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, then all that is promised unto you. In Romans 8, verse 32, we read this, a verse that I commonly quote to remind me that I have everything. Why should I murmur because I don't have power? Why should I murmur because I have to do this? Look what the Lord Jesus Christ has given me. In our Friday night Bible study, we're looking into the book of Galatians, and we're in a section of Scripture right now where Paul is describing what it is to be adopted into the inheritance. We have everything. All these things of the world are going to burn up. But everything throughout eternity is ours because of what our Lord and Savior has done. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. If God gave His only begotten Son for you and I, that you and I would live in eternity, how shall He not give us everything? Now, I know we talk about this every Sunday. But I walk out that door every Sunday also and forget about these things and start walking through this world where all the glittering things that catch our eyes, and we forget that we are in the flesh for just a moment. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we have a place to go to and forget about all those things that distract us. And lead us to the one who we should be focused on. What a wonderful thing God has given you and I right here in Rescue. To come and worship our Savior, who has given everything to us. Are not all things in heaven and in earth and under the earth given unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? By adoption, we will receive an equal part in inheritance. This person that I know, who really truly believes there are more treasures in heaven for some than there are for others, I looked him right in the eye and I said, I have Christ. What more can anyone ask for? If everything is his, making everything of his mine, what more do I need? You have whatever treasure you think you're going to have. I have Christ. And I say, Abba, Father. Amen. Stand with me.